Wait, so you're, hey, what's up? Wait, so you're saying we're talking, or you're saying we're doing another podcast, or are we just talking and I'm supposed to make that into a podcast?
That one.
We're just talking.
Yeah.
Oh, so I'm not actually supposed to introduce us. We're not supposed to have set topics. We're not supposed to address the. We're just talking.
No,
this is when it gets creepy, because like I thought you might. Whenever I'm including people in internet stuff, I was worried they'll think it's creepy, like people listening to what we're saying. But like, we're just talking. That's creepy.
How is that creepy?
Because it's people listening in our conversation, like.
That's what a freaking podcast is anyway.
No, a podcast is a radio show. You're addressing the audience and entertaining them purposely.
No. I mean, like, we're going to introduce ourselves and do that, but continue with our conversation.
Oh, so we do introduce ourselves?
Yes!
Oh, I thought you meant, like, we just keep talking as if I had not started recording.
No, that'd be creepy.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Hey, what's up, guys? I'm Jacob Kaufman. I'm Nerd of the Street, and this is episode 4 of the Nerd of the Street podcast. If you can't tell, we just recorded episode 3 like an hour ago. I'm here with Devin.
Hello.
He's still here. And yeah, we're just going to keep talking now. We've been talking about Red versus Blue, which I said in the first podcast, I don't want the entire podcast to be about Red versus Blue. But Devin's actually, as it turns out, a huge fan of Halo, so I feel like he would actually enjoy Red versus Blue.
I might. I don't know.
I mean,
isn't that by Rooster Teeth?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the link I posted in the chat 15 minutes ago is to the first episode. But yeah, I'm a super fan of Red vs. Blue, and I've never even played Halo. So I imagine if you've actually played Halo and you actually get some of the references, then it might be a bit better.
Possibly. So, have you ever played any video games other than Minecraft?
I really liked Portal and Portal 2.
Never played either of those. I heard they were good.
They are really good.
What's the storyline?
Storyline is, well, have you played Half-Life?
Nope.
All right, well, the storyline is, it's, you're a test subject, well, you kind of learn more as you go along, but you're like a test subject in this science company that just, this company is just so powerful, and they've just got so much money, they just go around doing random science experiments just for the heck of it, and you're in this, like, automated course testing out a portal gun, and you're going through these quote-unquote testing chambers, and the only person you ever see in the first thing is the computer, even though the computer's acting like the entire facility is obviously supposed to be, like, populated with actual people in it other than you. But when the game starts, you're starting this testing course, and you're going through about half, well, do you want me to, like, tell you what's gonna happen?
Yep.
Are you sure?
Yep.
Alright, spoiler alert, podcast. About halfway through the game, you finish the last testing course, and this is Portal 1. Portal 1 was actually a really short game, but about halfway through, after about like 20 or 22 testing courses, the computer says, congratulations, you've made it through, stand on this platform, and I'm going to lower you into some fire now.
That's very pleasant.
Yeah, so then the second half of the game is you're going through the back offices of Aperture Science, basically, where the testing subjects weren't supposed to be, but you're, like, going through and finding the core of this computer. The computer's name is GLaDOS. And GLaDOS actually won, I think, one or more awards for, like, best villain in a video game from some respectable award thing.
Some respectable award thing.
Huh? Yeah, so you find GLaDOS, and then you know, within the game mechanics, you basically shuttered down. And then that was the end of Portal originally. But then when Valve decided to go and make a sequel, they did a DLC, like an add-on to the game. You know what those are, right?
Yes, I know what a DLC is.
All right, sorry. I didn't before I researched that, so I'm never sure. But yeah, they did a DLC to where after you beat the game, then, or like right after you blow up the computer, and apparently there's a portal. I thought it blew up. Apparently what it was supposed to be was there's a portal malfunction, and it teleports the computer to the surface of the of the facility into the Aperture Science parking lot. And then the DLC, all that it did was it added a cutscene at the very end of you being dragged back into Aperture Science. And it makes a reference to something it said earlier in the game, but the reference wasn't actually significant after that. It was just funny. But yeah, so then...
Something about cake, right?
Well, no, the cake is a lie. What that is, when you're going through the back offices, you're following these arrows that were drawn, but there's more than just arrows. Like, there's a bunch of writing. One of the things that was written was the cake is a lie, because the computer promises you cake, like, three-fourths of the way through the testing chamber. She says when you're done, you'll get cake, basically.
And you're not going to get cake?
You are not going to get cake.
That is very disappointing.
I know. But yeah,
be like, I'm hungry, but I'm gonna save room because whenever I finish this, I'm gonna get cake. Then there's like no cake, and then you're like, dang it.
Yeah, but then all the stuff that was written on the walls by it's some other character that is never really seen in the game. But yeah, Portal 2, you wake up, and the first thing you do is you wake up, and it says you've been in stasis for like 10 days, and then it has you go through a ridiculously easy physical exercise, demonstrating how little physical exercise they make you get. And then it puts you back to stasis. And the first time you're in like this nice hotel looking place. And then when you wake back up, it says, good morning. You have been in stasis for 9, 9, 9. And it just keeps saying 9 for like 20 seconds. And then that breaks. You immediately meet this idiot AI, which, oh, right. Another thing the DLC added, I know I said it only added the one thing. There's also a cutscene right after you get dragged back into the building where it cuts into the bottom of Aperture Science and you see all these personality cores wake up.
What's personality core?
It's basically a little round robot with an AI in it. And GLaDOS, the way you defeated GLaDOS was by taking away some of her key personality cores. But yeah, the main personality core character of Portal 2 that you immediately meet is Wheatley. And he's an idiot, and you later learn that he was actually created to be an idiot when the computer originally killed everyone in Aperture Science. When GLaDOS killed everyone, the scientists made Wheatley to attach to her and try and make her make bad decisions and not destroy everyone. But yeah, Wheatley like is trying to help you escape, and then he accidentally wakes up GLaDOS because he's such an idiot. And then... he ends up, to save you, you put him in charge of the facility, like you switch him and GLaDOS out, and apparently GLaDOS is a personality core too. And then after Wheatley is in charge, being the idiot that he is, he decides, oh, I'm going to go ahead and take control of this entire place and not let you guys leave. And you learn more and more about, like, I'm not going to go into detail about this storyline, because the storyline of Portal 2 was infinitely more complicated. I guess not infinitely more, but it was significantly more complex than the storyline to Portal 1. But yeah, it's that's the gist of it. You're in a mad science type thing with only evil computers.
Huh, well, that sounds like fun.
Yeah. Yeah, see, I didn't even spoil the ending for you. So now you can go and play Portal 1 and then Portal 2, and you don't even know like what's going to happen.
All right. I might...
So now we know what happens if I press escape.
Found out.
Except I'm saving to the wrong folder now. Whatever.
I'm sure you can figure it out, Jacob. You're smart.
Oh, I don't know.
But yeah, I know what DLC is. That's a fairly common term in...
I know. Yeah, I should have assumed you knew because you play video games. I did not know, once again.
The fact that I played Halo... and there's multiplayer.
I know. Hey, you can't like yell at me for asking. I was just at least.
Yeah, I know. I forget that you haven't like played first-person shooters or anything. So is Portal like all you've played other than Minecraft, or?
I mean, pretty much. I used to play, like, just games on the Wii, but those obviously aren't quite the same. They're more, like, sit-down-and-play-for-a-little-bit games rather than actual storyline games.
I pretty much most of the Mario games.
Yeah.
Those sort of have a storyline. It's like you always sort of kill, sort of knock out the fire-breathing turtle dragon thing.
Bowser.
Yeah, I know his name.
Okay.
But he's a fire-breathing turtle dragon thing, and then you always kill slash knock out him, and then he always comes back the next time. And then, for some reason, he doesn't just murder you, which he could easily do, because he's a fire-breathing turtle dragon, and you're a plumber.
Well, he's obviously trying to murder you. You can just jump and move too fast for his fireballs.
Okay, well then why doesn't he just squish you?
He tries to. Don't you see him doing the thing?
If he can break into a castle with security and get in the princess, I feel like he should be able to beat a plumber in a fight.
When I was little, my family had a Super Nintendo, and I used to play Mario Brothers 1 and 3 all the time. And then I eventually got 2 for Game Boy, or Game Boy Advance, but that Mario Brothers 2 is nothing like the storyline of 1 and 3.
It's not even close.
And I know.
The gaming is not even close. It's completely different.
I don't even get how they came up with that.
Okay, so what happened was, from what I've heard, there was an actual Mario Brothers 2.
Yeah, that was the one they released in Japan. It's called The Lost Levels here.
Yeah, and in Japan they released that, and they thought that it'd be too difficult for us, so they released a bullcrap version here.
I just don't get how they came up with the storyline and then never, like, went back to it again.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's pretty much the same game over and over and over again with different levels.
Well, 1 and 3, I agree, but, like, 2 was different gameplay aspect. Well,
yeah, different gameplay, and it was different storyline, but that's just 2. I mean, like, Super Mario Galaxy, normally. Super Mario Super Mario
No, I don't think... I don't agree that Super Mario Galaxy necessarily... I guess I didn't beat that. I got pretty close to beating Super Mario Sunshine on the GameCube. That was a different storyline.
That one had a different storyline.
Also, Luigi's Mansion was good. I did beat that.
Luigi's Mansion was an amazing game, and that was based on the better of the two brothers.
Yeah.
Whereas the rest of them were based on the short, fat dude. But, yeah, Luigi's Mansion... I mean, just even the music for Luigi's Mansion was amazing.
Yeah.
And the fact that Luigi whistled it because he got nervous was great.
Yeah, that was a really fun game.
That was a great game. I still play that every once in a while. I'm also a big fan of the Sonic the Hedgehog games, or the older ones. Not so much the very new ones, because they've kind of gone to crap, but...
Yeah, the only one I've ever played, I've played the Flash version on my first website. My first website, I added the Flash version of Sonic on, and obviously that has not nearly as much storyline. It just had the same characters. And then also I've played one of the newer crap versions, which, yeah, didn't tell me much about the storyline, and I was pretty confused throughout the whole thing.
Wait, which one was it?
I don't know. It was when we got our Xbox. It was the first game I put in was Sonic, because I thought I would like Sonic, and then I did not understand gameplay at all.
Was it Sonic Heroes?
Might have been something like that.
Was it on Xbox or Xbox 360?
360.
Okay. Sonic Heroes is from, like, early 2000s.
Oh, yeah, it's probably not that, then.
That was a pretty good game. It was, like, in my opinion, that's the only really good 3D Sonic game other than Shadow the Hedgehog, which is an amazing game.
Yeah, well, yeah, I hear the 2D ones are better. I've heard that from other people, too.
The 2D ones are so much better for Sonic games, but Shadow the Hedgehog was 3D, and that was an amazing game.
What was that Mario game that was... It was 3D. I think it was for GameCube. And it had, like, the paintings you jumped through?
That's Super Mario 64, which was for Nintendo 64.
Right, that was it.
It's kind of in the name. But, right. Yeah,
well, I just remember playing it at a friend's house, and then I later could not figure out what it was, but then I did, and then I forgot it, so I asked you.
Yeah, but Shadow the Hedgehog is undebatably one of my favorite Sonic games. Probably my favorite, but...
I would like to debate. I don't think it's actually one of your favorite Sonic games.
Well, I just said it was undebatably, so you can't, because I said so.
Okay.
So anyways, it's, instead of it being just like one little, like, you do this level and then you do that level and then you do that level and then you're done with it and then you face the big boss and you're done. Instead of it being like that, you are Shadow and you have like your memory is kind of like messed up. And so you don't know whether to fight for these chaos creatures or for Sonic and his gang. So you kind of get to pick. Like, one of the good guys will give you a mission for each mission. And there will be... Okay, so Sonic will give you a mission, the government will give you a mission, and the chaos creatures will give you a mission.
And you get to pick which one to follow?
Yeah, you get to pick which mission you want to do. And so,
that sounds fun.
Yeah, there's like a big grid where it's like all different kinds of missions that you can do. And you can replay whichever mission you want, but it... The next mission you go to depends on what you did on the mission before.
Wow. What platform was that on? I feel like I want to look that up.
GameCube.
Yeah, but I could find that somewhere.
If you have a GameCube, I would recommend that you like play that.
I do have a GameCube, so I will try playing that sometime.
That is a great game. But anyways, it's not really a spoiler because it's pretty obvious that you're gonna, like, if you go with all good quests or missions or whatever you want to call them, then at the end, you are going to fight the main chaos creature thing that gives you the bad guy quests. And if you go with all the bad guy quests, then you're gonna fight Sonic.
What happens if you go with the government?
If you go, like, all neutral sort of thing.
Oh, it's neutral.
I'm pretty sure it was the government. It's just, it's neutral quests. I think it was the government, but if you go with that, then I can't really remember. I never really went with that. I usually went evil and killed Sonic.
Every once in a while,
I'd go, what?
Why'd you kill Sonic?
Because that was a really fun fight to play.
Ah.
It was one of the more challenging ones in the game. The one when you killed Sonic and the one when you killed the big chaos dude were pretty challenging. Oh, you know what? If you go neutral, you kill Dr. Eggman.
I bet I'll find out who that person is when I play the game.
You don't know who Dr. Eggman is.
I feel like I've heard of the name.
He's a dude with a really big bushy mustache that goes out way too far from the sides of his face. And he looks like an egg mixed with a man.
Now see, I want to figure that out when I play the game.
See, well, the thing is, he's just really fat and... Yeah. And he makes a lot of robots. That's what he does. He makes robots.
Okay.
And I feel like you can do missions for him, too. Maybe it was him and not the government. Yeah, I think maybe it was you do missions for him, and at the end he, like, turns on you, and then you kill him. That was a nice thing about Shadow the Hedgehog, though. Instead of just, like, running and jumping and then spinning at people...
Like, there's actually, like, a storyline behind it.
Well, that, too, but you got to, like, use guns.
Oh.
Like, you can kill one of the government people and then take their pistol and shoot the rest of them.
That sounds kind of like if you played Mario with guns. Like, you're just breaking the gameplay mechanics.
No, that's the thing. You have to use guns in Shadow the Hedgehog. That's the game.
No, yeah, but like normal Sonic, you didn't use guns?
No, there were no guns, but you're not Sonic. Okay, so the difference between Sonic and Shadow is Sonic is a good guy who is all about following the rules, and Shadow is a, like, BA, and he likes to kill people, so.
Okay.
He's like the chaos version of Sonic.
Right. Yeah, but I guess as much.
Yeah. I am pretty sure he was, like, an experiment created by Dr. Eggman. Yeah. Dr. Eggman made Shadow.
You're just spoiling everything.
I'm sorry.
Hey, I don't know why you wanted me to explain Portal, but I personally don't like spoilers.
It doesn't ever say in the game that Dr. Eggman made him. That's just, like, common knowledge from previous games.
Yeah, but I could, like, infer that for myself or something. I don't know.
Alright. I guess you can play the game and figure out everything that I just already told you. So,
yeah, I think I will.
Yeah, pretty good game. But yeah, the only games I play are pretty much first-person shooters, Minecraft, and a lot of old games like Tetris and Mario and Sonic and stuff like that. I never did understand the game Centipede. I don't know why. It just always confused me.
Is that like Worm or Snake?
No, it's not like Snake. It's like weird. It's one of those, what's it called? Arcade games.
Oh.
Like, I don't think they ever made it for a system.
Hmm.
That game always just really confused me, so I just never played it.
I got into Pac-Man for a while.
And for like last year. I was into Pac-Man for a few months last year. That was an interesting few months.
Like, I started playing for points.
That I should have been. You know the, like, level 256 or whatever the hell it is? Where it, like, ends?
Yeah, I got that far on my Game Boy Advance.
Yeah, like, where the game, like, glitches out and stops working.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was originally not supposed to be there. The game was supposed to be endless until you just died.
Yeah.
But there was a problem with all the fruits showing up on the screen.
Oh.
And they couldn't fix it. So they just were like, all right, screw it. And they gave up. And so now the game just ends on that level because it glitches up.
For the Game Boy version, they just added a you win after that.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, all the original, yeah. They just, when I got into Pac-Man, I was talking about when I started playing it on the computer, like, for points. But, yeah, there was a point in time when I would literally, like, it went on for, like, a couple of months at least, where I would just, like, take my Game Boy out from under my bed, and I always had it plugged in, and I always just had it, like, in sleep mode in the middle of a Pac-Man game for so long. And I that was really fun. I beat Pac-Man.
I went through, like, a huge Pokemon phase when I was in, what, like, fourth grade?
I really enjoyed Pokemon games for the Game Boy Advance, and then the ones for the DS were, like, not the same at all.
No, it was the ones for the Game Boy Advance. I didn't really, like... I mean, DS is okay for some things.
Like, the Game Boy Advance, you got Pokemon, and, like, your health was, like, 50, and then the DS, your health was, like, 10.
Yeah.
It was like it moved too quickly on the DS.
Yeah.
Nothing to make you feel like a nerd, like, talking about playing Pokemon on your Game Boy, right?
Yeah, right.
At least I don't do it in A and P.
Yeah.
The obnoxious people behind us.
I remember I had it down to where I could beat Sapphire or Ruby, of which I had both. I could beat either one of them in 4 hours.
I never beat any of them.
Seriously?
I played Ruby the longest, because, like I said, I liked Ruby better than any of the DS ones. But, yeah, I never beat it. I think I got stuck around, like, the casino.
Oh, man, that's sad.
Is that far through the game?
Not really.
I made it to, like, the bike, like, the highway.
I want to say that's, like, a third of the way through.
Hmm. I played Pokemon Colosseum. On the GameCube, I always called it Colosseum.
I had Pokemon Colosseum on, what's it called, N64. I played that for a long time when I was really little.
That was like The Hobbit. Like, I played, like, Pokemon Colosseum, and I played The Hobbit for GameCube, but, like, I did not understand the storyline at all. And since it's not like Mario where you go through stage by stage, it's an entire story. So, like, I had no idea what I was doing. I was just walking around and clicking whatever buttons it would let me click.
Yeah, pretty much. I think we had The Hobbit or something like that. For the original Xbox, we had that, or something like that. We had some Lord of the Rings game, and you always started out as this little short dude, and then you couldn't do crap, and I'm like, this is stupid. So then I would put it in, and then I'd play it for 5 minutes, and I'd throw it across the room because it was stupid.
In the GameCube, I would always climb up in this barn. I would climb up on top of these stacks of hay, and then I would fall off and die.
Huh. I feel like the programmers of the game were making a short joke there.
Well, like, it was like a full-size barn. It wasn't like a doghouse.
Oh, okay. That's better.
But yeah, I think I got stuck in the Hobbit game when he was in some like canyon battling wolves. I kept dying there. And granted, this was before I read The Hobbit.
Yeah.
So I had no idea what was going on.
Read the book, because then you would know what you have to do to get out of there.
Yeah, I definitely recommend reading the book before you start playing a video game about something.
I've read the book, because...
No, I wasn't talking to you, I was talking to people in general.
Oh, just people in general. Hi, audience.
Yeah, sorry. I broke the illusion of a one-on-one conversation with you, Devin.
Yeah, you did.
But it really killed the conversation there.
It did. What else is there to talk about?
Let's backtrack a little bit. Where did we get to that with? Yeah, where did we start
talking about GameCube and Xbox games?
Why are we talking about that?
Pokemon.
Why are we talking about that?
Because, it seemed interesting at the time. I don't know. Pac-Man, that's why we were talking about that.
Well, no, you asked me originally, like, have you played any first-person shooters?
Yeah. And you said not really, you said Portal. Then yeah, I really don't feel like recapping our entire conversation.
Yeah. I played, Peggle. Was that it, or was it the Hexic? No, it was definitely Peggle on the Xbox Live Arcade. It was, like, the free trial version that comes with your 360. Never played it, and then I saw it on an Achievement Hunter video, and I played the free trial. It was pretty fun. Kind of a little, like, crazy for my taste as a arcade game goes, but...
Never played Peggle.
You're basically just bouncing a ball around and making it hit other obstacles.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's, like... what's the name of those tables?
Tables?
They're tables with glass on the top, and there's
not
a little
pool.
Ball, and you've got two bumpers.
Bumper pool?
Not bumper pool. You've got two little bumpers at the bottom.
It's a guess.
It's a silver ball.
Knockout?
No, it's like a really obvious thing. Like pinball.
Oh, no. Like, it's like...
It sounds like pinball.
You're shooting a ball. There's all these pegs. When you shoot the pegs, they go away. And then you have to get rid of the orange pegs. The blue pegs are just in your way. You have to get rid of all the orange pegs to win. You have a certain number of balls. So it's sort of like pinball, but, like, not exactly the same.
Yeah. Have you ever, experienced the wonder that is TI-84 gaming?
I have played my fair share of Block Dude and that one that's matching that's very similar to that old game on the Pixter.
Yeah, the matching game with the shapes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that one's pretty fun. So is Block Dude. The dinosaur one I find that I'm pretty good at.
I've not tried the dinosaur one.
Yeah, it's you switch your four columns to match stuff.
Oh wait, I have tried that.
Yeah, that one's, I got pretty good at that, and then, yeah, I just kind of was like, I'm kind of burned out on this now, gonna play something else.
Well, yeah, I only played it, like, after tests and stuff.
Oh.
I don't even know what to do after a test. I'm like, when I'm sitting there not doing anything, I feel like I'm just looking stupid, like, wasting my time. But then you're not supposed to get anything out, because other people are still taking the test.
Yeah. So, calculator games it is.
Yeah, and then last semester, when I was sitting next to people, last semester, I was playing a game on the calculator, and then this girl next to me, across from me in the table, I was in Mr. Buzz's room, it's like, whatever. Anyway, after I've been playing this calculator game for like 15 or 20 minutes, she's just like... Are you playing a game on there? And like I was like, yeah. And she was like, oh, that makes sense. And I'm thinking, what else would I have been doing on my calculator after I turned my test in for the past 15 minutes?
Well, you were obviously programming it to do stuff.
Like, you went all out with that quadratic formula.
That was pretty fun, though.
Yeah. Too bad that the ACT program already did it.
What?
I found out the ACT program they give you actually already has quadratic formula functionality built in.
That's upsetting.
Yours is faster.
Is it?
Yeah.
That's good.
The ACT program's really slow.
I'm better than ACT program people.
Yeah.
Not really.
Well, it wasn't by the ACT people. It was just by some random kid made to help you on the ACT.
Oh. Well, I'm a better random kid.
Yeah.
Yay!
If you want to find Devin's calculator programs, go to calculatorprograms.nerdonthestreet.com. Should we make that a thing?
We should make that a thing. That'd be fun. All right, now we need to figure out how to program games onto that calculator.
So, you know, our school's broadcast team, bringing it back to school, is called Channel 97 News.
Okay, you can't really say bringing it back to school, because that was on the last podcast. But, no, I did not.
You didn't know that?
Oh, wait, yeah, I did know that.
Yeah.
It's stupid.
I checked. It's stupid that they don't use Channel 97 anymore. They called it that because, you know, the school's network... The teachers eventually had to turn their TVs to Channel 97 to play the thing, but now they just do it over the network drive on the computer. It's not even on Channel 97 anymore.
Yeah, that's why it's stupid.
Yeah, anyway, I checked the other day. Channel98news.com is available. Anyone interested in competing with the broadcast team with me?
I'll do it.
Like, I feel like we could actually be competition until we got shut down.
We probably could.
Like, we've got higher quality cameras, we've got better editing skills, we've got better people.
Hey, guys, you know what's better than 97? 98.
Well, like, that would just be what we call it because it's funny. I think they should call them two different, like, names for the... Like, they call it Eyes on the Tiger, or Eyes on the Tigers, Channel 97 News. I think they should call, like, they do it on a bi-monthly schedule. There are two teams. One of them does it every other month, and then the other one does it the other every other month. I think they should call one of those two Channel 97 News. The other one would be called Eyes on the Tiger. Like, why don't they do that?
I don't know. That would make more sense than what they're doing now, where they don't even use Channel 97. Dude, yeah. I just found a slogan. Why would you have 97 donuts when you could have 98 donuts?
No, why would you have 97 channels when you could have 98 channels?
Well, that works too, but people like donuts.
We're not giving out donuts, though.
Well, no, it's just like, it's... Never mind. I'm just saying 98 is better than 97. That was it. That was the whole point. Unless you're talking about something that you don't want, in which case 97 is better than 98.
Well, I'm not sure if Channel 96 News is available or not.
We could take 98 and 96. We have you surrounded. That'd be great. And then we could have two teams.
I was reading random stuff the other day, and I came across the interesting fact every domain name that's like 5 characters or less is taken.
Seriously?
Yeah, or .com every domain names at least. Yeah, every possible combination. Because, I mean, there are so many different words that are that short. It's like, yeah. Like, how much is that worth? Like, having like food.com or like cars.com or something.
I mean, I guess that'd be more convenient than typing in something longer.
Like, food.com would be more convenient than typing in myrandomrestaurantname.com.
But yours is more than 5 letters by a lot, so you have nothing to worry about.
No, I know. I wasn't saying mine was going to get bought out. At the same time, mine's not valuable. And actually, the entire reason I got it was because I was like, hey, the person who had it before no longer has it. It used to be a relationship advice blog. Nerd on the street.
It's so great because it's like the opposite of what it is now.
Yeah. Well, it is. Yeah, it's pretty funny. If you go on the Wayback Machine, do you know what that is?
No.
It's this archive.
I've heard that it is a time machine from a recently released animated film about a dog who raises a child.
No, I'm talking about the Wayback Machine that the Internet Archive Organization has created.
I don't know what that is.
It archives old versions of websites, and I'm pretty sure if you go on the Wayback Machine, you can still see the old website. Now, the reason I use JacobGKAU for all my usernames now is because the first thing I did when I made Nerd on the Street was registered youtube.com/nerdonthestreet, which
What's
I actually
your middle
did.
Name?
What?
What's your middle name?
That's kind of the only thing people don't know about me on the internet right now.
Gerald? Gary?
Yeah.
Ha, now they know.
Yeah. I actually was nicknamed in middle school, not by everyone, but just by this one girl who sat in front. Anyway, back to what I was talking about. Before I go off on another tangent. Right, so I did the YouTube channel like 2 years before I actually started making videos. But then I got nerdonthestreet.com was basically the second thing I did. Third thing I did, of course, was register the Facebook page. I wanted facebook.com/nerdonthestreet. And of course, some random girl somewhere had that. So yeah, I had to use JacobGKAU. And that's why I figured, oh, I might as well make everything else match. So that's why everything else is JacobGKAU.
Huh.
Like, I didn't want to have some, like, I didn't want to have some of my social networks one thing and some of them the other thing, so I just made all of them JacobGKAU.
Yeah, it'd be more confusing if they were different, but, Jacob, in honor of your the previous owner of your website's domain name, you should make a relationship advice blog.
I feel like that would go horribly.
Why would it go horribly?
I don't know.
Are you bad at giving relationship advice, Jacob? Have you been in a bad relationship recently?
No. I've been in a total of the first... Well, I don't want to talk about it. I have not been in a bad relationship. Quote-unquote bad. No, I have not. Actually...
Well, that's good. You were never abused?
No, that wasn't what I meant. Never mind.
Just making sure.
I've not been in any newsworthy relationships. Like, neither of the relationships I was in were actually, like, real relationships. So, it doesn't really matter for me. I'm just like, I see those people anyway. We're still friends. One of them is a certain person who will not write the machinima that I really need to start writing for, but I can't think of any names for it. So if anyone has any names to submit for characters for an American science fiction futuristic series, email them to me at jacob@nerdonthestreet.com, although be advised that you will not receive any compensation for your help.
No compensation.
No competition at all.
That's sad.
What am I gonna do? Like, send out money to people who are giving me fictional names?
Yep. I thought you already had a name for it, but it wasn't that good.
No, that was the name for the title that we already said. Oh, right. Keep emailing us names for titles. I have not gotten any. But also email us names for characters, was what I was talking about this time.
Oh, okay. I see.
Remember when I asked you about that in A&P?
Yeah, I do now.
And then you told me about your science fiction short story?
Yeah, that was... Yeah.
You should send that to me. We can publish that on the website or something.
I'd have to find it.
It sounded cool.
It was pretty cool. I'd have to find it.
All right.
So I'll see if I can maybe find it.
I got into a phase in, like, 7th or 8th grade when I was just like, I'm going to write a book. And then I wrote, like, 10 pages, and then I just stopped. Like, I had to reinstall my Linux distribution. I never got around to restoring the file.
See, I did the same thing, and I wrote, like, 35 to 40 pages, and then I stopped.
Well, you're better than I am.
Thank you.
I'm really good at, like, long-term plot planning. Like, I had the entire, like, book one is going to be this, and this is going to happen, this is going to happen, it's going to end off like this, book two is going to be this. But then, like, when I start writing details, I'm even good at coming up with some details. Like, I'll list down details that I can think of. But then when I try and put it into actual, like, novel story format, yeah, when I try and put it into an actual story, I just, like, that's where the talent and the interest stops for me.
Yeah.
Like,
I've got this great idea, but I'm never going to be able to follow through with it on
my own.
Yeah,
I've got great ideas for the machinima. But first of all, we're using Minecraft. And second of all, that was why I wanted Melinda to do the writing, was so that I could tell her, all right, make this happen. And then she could write to make that happen. And because her writing is really good writing in terms of, like, it's got good imagery, it's got really good, you know, just quality of writing, but it had no plot. The few samples I've read, I don't know if all of her stuff is like that or if I just got the one that had no plot, but yeah. But yeah, apparently she does not have enough time to do that, so.
So that makes that more difficult.
I mean, I sat down to start writing more episodes yesterday, or it was like Wednesday. I was like, you know, it was after Melinda talked to me. She was, like, asked how it was going. And I was like, oh, yeah, we decided to wait off until summer to start recording it. And I was like, you know, I should probably start writing more episodes for this. So, yeah, I sat down. And the first thing I did was, like, all right, before I write episode two, let me just quickly come up with character names. And that was, like, the end of that.
You're not very good at character names, huh?
No.
At all?
Not really. I think we're getting a little long for this podcast, by the way.
Yeah, probably.
See, guys, that's Nerd on the Street podcast, not relationship advice, rather a couple of people talking about random crap. So yeah, I'm Jacob Kaufman. This is Devin.
Bye.
And yeah, see you later. Bye.